All right, Kyle Dake is about to do burpees his way. Let's see what he's got. Piece of cake. Yeah. That's good, that's good. Good stuff, I'm not doing those.
All right, ready? So welcome back to SpartanUpPodcast.com. Today we're back in Pittsfield with Joe DeSena, Colonel Nye, and Mr. Johnny Wade over here. Some wonderful people.
I just Sephra. Got caught by surprise. I didn't know you were introducing.
I'm Sephra. Yeah, I'm taking over.
I had no idea.
You know, great I feel job, really proud because today we're going back to our shared alma mater, Cornell University. Great place. We're talking to Kyle Drake.
Dake.
Yep. He's awesome, and that's just about the coolest burpee I've ever seen. What do you guys think?
Backflip burpee.
Yeah.
Very cool.
See that?
Something to strive for.
So I'm not a Cornell grad, but I share an alumnus with you, and that we're both wrestlers, and that's why I really love this one. I mean, what a cool, incredible story this guy has.
It's amazing. Yeah. I first watched him when he was in high school, and I, not in person, but watched him on YouTube videos at national level competitions, and then I have seen him in live at a couple large competitions. He is incredible.
So I want to make sure I understand this right. Four-time NCAA champion in four different weight classes. First guy ever.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a zero-time NCAA champion, just for the record.
I don't even
99.9% of everybody else.
My kids were wrestling this weekend. We went to a camp out in Ohio, and my older son was having a breakdown. And I brought him back, and I said, remember Kyle Dake? Kyle Dake said... even in your worst moment, your worst day, my mother, this is Kyle Dake talking, my mother taught me that you can find good in that no matter what. So I mean, the guy's just got an unbelievable spirit. It's not just talent, right? He's got it going on up here.
Cool.
And that's what we found when we interviewed him. So I think you're going to be blown away when you see the interview.
I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
Let's go up to the hill.
I'm glad you opened that one.
Well done. Leadership.
We are here spotting up the park. We are here, Spartan Up the Podcast, with Kyle Dake, four-time NCAA champ at Cornell University. Kyle's coach behind us needs a respirator. You could see him back there, Rob. He just did 22 burpees.
In 1 minute.
And we broke him.
Yeah, we broke him. It was over.
So how the hell did you get to this level? You've been wrestling since how long?
I've been wrestling since I was four. My father was a coach. He actually coached at Cornell. He volunteered here in the 89 and 90. And then I was born in 91, and he helped coach at Ithaca College on the other side. And then he started coaching high school. He wrestled at Kent State, was an All-American. My grandfather wrestled at Ball State. So it's been in the family forever. And, you know, I just was always in the wrestling room just messing around, and I kind of just fell in love with it.
Even at a young age, you didn't get burned out?
Yeah, even at a young age. If my dad never really pushed me. You know, if I committed to something, he'd make me honor that commitment. But if I said, you know, the week before I didn't want to go to a tournament, he would say, okay, that's fine. And that was it. And, or if I, you know, usually I had, if I committed to do something, he would hold me accountable. And, you know, I definitely appreciate that. For sure.
And brothers and sisters or no?
I have a younger brother. He's a sophomore at Cornell right now. He just had surgery on his meniscus, so hopefully he'll be back in a couple weeks and get ready to wrestle and be on the mat again. And then I have a sister who's a senior in high school, and she plays soccer. And so, yeah, our family's pretty athletic.
Do you think a regular kid could get to the level you've gotten to? I mean, you just described your dad, your grandfather, the fact that he was a coach, the fact that you lived in the wrestling room. How does a regular kid get to that level?
You know, there's it just takes a special type of person to really want to excel. A lot of people say they want to be great or say they want to be good, but their actions don't mirror that. You know, their actions are, okay, I'm going to stay out late. I'm going to play video games. I'm not going to do my homework. I'm going to, you know, mess around outside. And it's not, you know, you have to make the commitment to want to be the best and want to be the greatest. And I feel like I made that commitment starting in high school. I really wanted to be the best I could possibly be. And I think another thing is you just got to be better than you were yesterday. That's the biggest thing, better than you were yesterday, and that'll really pay off.
Some of that stuff probably just came from your dad talking to you, the coaches talking to you, but at some point it was part of you.
Yeah.
You were speaking that way. You decided not to go out Friday night. When did that transfer? Was that high school? When?
Yeah, that was high school when I decided, you know, okay, I want to be great. I need to get hours of sleep. I can't be going out, hanging out in the middle of the night, waking up at 6 a.m. and going to work out. I need to be in bed with my homework done and ready to go, because if I don't have my homework done, my parents won't let me practice. But even from a young age, my dad was a great influence on me in terms of telling me to, you know, showing me how to work hard. And my mom was a great influence on me, telling me the power of positivity. For me, it's one of the biggest motivating factors for me, just taking the silver lining out of everything. You know, you might have an awful day, but you can always take something away from that awful day. You know, there was a day that I came in the wrestling room and just got beat up for an hour and a half, didn't score a single takedown, and, you know, it was just the worst. I felt like it was the worst practice I've ever done. I thought I was terrible. And, you know, after I got in out of the weight room, I realized that I lost 7.5 pounds, and that was huge for me, because normally I only use like 3. So that was my silver lining. And I was able to take something away from that practice and even get better, even though it was the worst practice of my life.
It's funny, we talk about changing somebody's frame of reference. When I was growing up, while I was at Cornell, I was running a business, and I had a tough time finding great employees. But when I found Eastern Europeans, they were amazing. They were always happy, they worked hard, didn't matter how many hours, didn't matter if it was raining. They always found something positive. They were just happy to be working.
Exactly.
And so it's rare to see an American with those qualities, and that was mom?
That was definitely mom. I mean, dad too, but mom was the one that was hammering every night, you know, every day, just saying, okay, you know, have a great day, be positive. And it was, you know, eventually it was just like a constant. And I started telling myself that. You do something enough times, you'll remember it.
Is it about, like, the medal for you? Is it about, what's it about? When you started to say, I want to win, what was winning about?
I just wanted to be the best I could possibly be. You know, I wanted to be an Olympic champion. I still want to be an Olympic champion. I want to be a world champion. I want to be the best wrestler in the world, and that's what I want to do. You know, there's only a couple people that want to be the absolute best at what they do. And if you're the best at what you do, you're gonna be all right. You know,
yeah.
So you're the best burpee guy I know. So
what's it gonna take to be the best? Like, what's in your way between here and there? You've already crushed it. Why not rest on your laurels now?
I'm not at the pinnacle. You know, I have to go conquer the world. For me, I've almost conquered the United States. I got, you know, I was second at the World Team Trials my senior year 2 years ago, and then this year I was injured. So I feel like I have something to prove. I really just want to be the best. That's all I really care about. For me, being second, you know, I'm second in the U.S. right now, and that's not good enough. I want to be the best. And, you know, the fact that I am second, I don't even get to test myself against the world. You know, I don't get to go to the world championships. I don't get to see where I am. I could be second in the world right now, and I won't know it. So I have to win in the United States in order to see where I do, how I do in the world championships.
I know we think positive. I think positive too. God forbid it doesn't work out. How do you handle that?
You know, I haven't really thought about it. You know, I don't think in those terms is an honest response. I don't think about losing. I think about winning every single time I step on the mat. I imagine myself wrestling the greatest wrestler of all time and beating him every single day. That's just how I get myself better every single day, both mentally, physically, emotionally. That's just how I have to do it.
It's funny, we've interviewed about 100 people so far, all about the same thing: success, motivation, perseverance. And you think about somebody like Thomas Edison, created the light bulb, right? He goes through hundreds and hundreds of light bulbs. They don't work. It doesn't work, but he doesn't quit. And we're finding the same thing with successful people. They just don't think in negative terms,
yeah.
Right? It's just positive, and it's going to happen.
You can only lose when you quit. You might lose on the mat, but you got better from it. So the next time you step out, you keep getting better. I feel like I got so much better from the last time I wrestled. Unfortunately, you know, I got hurt and wasn't able to test it, but I feel like I'm much, much, much better than I was even a year ago.
Let's take a break and we'll be back with Kyle.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
Hey guys, my producer says we need a lot of reviews on iTunes so that Apple will make it easy for you to find our show. Can you help us out by subscribing and writing a review? We'd really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. You know, you ever hear the name Jay Jackson?
Jay Jackson? No, I have not.
So I'll tell you a story about Jay. He's a buddy of mine now. Wanted to be at the level you're at. His dad used to put him down the basement with his brother blindfolded in the dark. They had to wrestle each other every night. I guess the neighbors, everybody got pissed off. Eventually they got to the Olympic level, but they didn't medal, right? So Jay becomes coach at Stanford. And some neighborhood kid, like you have neighborhood kids here, came in to wrestle with them. Turned out to be a freak. Breaks into Jay's apartment. Jay's held at gunpoint. Takes Jay down to his underwear, zip ties him to a chair, puts a pillowcase over his head, duct tapes him, and has a gun to his head, is gonna kill him. Jay asks him to please shut the lights, because don't forget, Jay and his brother trained in the basement for a decade. Guy shuts the lights, Jay destroys the guy while tied to a chair, blindfolded, pins him, calls 911 from behind his back. Only reason I bring that up, one, it's an amazing story, but two, ever since then, I want my kids to be wrestlers, but I wasn't a wrestler, I don't know much about it, right? But the heart and the determination in that story is the same thing you guys have here. You've been in the gym, I don't know, how many days a year are you in the gym?
I don't know, 360 probably.
360, literally every single day?
Well, I take some days off.
So let's just assume 300 days a year you're in the gym, right? 20 years?
Yeah.
How old are you?
23.
23, 20 yeah. years in the gym, right? There are days where you just don't want to do it. How do you do it?
You kind of just got to bite down on your mouth guard or grit your teeth together and really just push through it.
No, I mean you're outside the gym. You could just pack it in today. You don't have to come in. You're exhausted. What are you doing?
You just got to imagine there's another guy out there who's in the gym. You know, there's someone out there who's getting better. You know, you can get better. You don't have to come in the gym for 3 hours to get better. You can come in the gym and do, you know, 500 burpees, or get on the Jacob's ladder, get on the treadmill for 20 minutes and sprint as hard as you can. It doesn't have to be long, and you're going to feel so much better. Every single time I think, oh, I don't feel good, I don't want to do this, I just think about how much better I'll feel after my workout. You know, even if I'm feeling a little under the weather, I always come in and try to get a workout in, try to get my blood moving, and then afterwards I can rest. You know, people don't really want to push through those hard times. And that's what makes you great. If you're able to push through those hard times, you know, when times are easy, you're going to be able to push through it no matter what. So that's really the biggest motivating factor for me.
What are the greatest workouts? Not that you want to give your competition any secrets, but like, what are the workouts that really changed your game?
So the worst one is a hands-on drill. So what it is we put 60 minutes on the clock, and then you have a partner. Each person goes for 5 minutes. So 5 minutes on, 5 minutes off. And you basically just drill, so you practice your takedowns, but after you take them down, the person that is on top forces them up with their hands. So they put their hands on the back of your neck and drive you up if you don't stand up on your own, or they just shove your head in the mat for the 5 minutes. And that's the worst, because, you know, someone's just pushing on your head and smushing your face in the mat, and you just get really emotional. You don't want that to happen, so you just like kind of freak out and come out. And so after the 60 minutes, you're dead tired. And that's really when you push your wall back. We always talk about, you know, you have a wall where you break. That's as far as you can go. And each day you just got to push that wall a little bit further back, a little bit further back, a little bit further back.
Breaking point.
And soon enough you're going to be much further than you were at the start of the season. So after that 60 minutes, coach will bring us down to this end of the gym and make us do baby crawls, bear crawls, frog jumps, sprints, you know, double sprints, triple sprints. It's just, he just tries to break you. And, you know, a lot of it too is when you come back, you want to put your hands on your knees. You want to bend over and breathe. And get your hands off your knees. It's just, even that is just like, ugh. It's like mentally draining. And that's where you really build up. That's one of the toughest things that you can do. For me, at least.
I've been spending a lot of time with the special forces lately, and they say to me they only want to recruit wrestlers.
Yeah.
For that reason, right? You guys have pushed the wall so far by the time you get out of school. That's not like a typical person.
Yeah, most people just kind of, they get to that breaking point and then they back off. They stop. They don't try to, you know, run their head through a wall. They don't try to push it further back. They think, okay, eventually I'll get there. But they're not actively trying to get better every single day. And that's what I'm trying to do.
We were talking to the coach, your coach, about when he used to go to Russia and these guys were training in the ice cold, or the Iranians. How do you take a guy like you that's living in this cushy country, right? You've got everything at your fingertips, McDonald's, bowling, everything. These guys are eating like rocks. They're sleeping on dirt. How do you compete with that? Ice cold in Siberia?
That's a funny question. I don't know. You just got to go compete is really what it is. You know, they're coming to America this year to compete with us. You know, maybe that'll make them worse. But we owe it, you know, Americans always have to go overseas to train. I've been to Belarus 2 times. I've been to Azerbaijan 2 times. I've been to London. I've been over there quite a bit. And I've got my fair share of dirty training in. And you come in, the mats are just disgusting. People are wearing the same clothes they've been wearing all week. And it's just you just got to accept it. You know, there's nothing you can do to change it.
But do you think you could ever be, not you, right? Can we, living in a country like this, ever be as gritty, as rugged as somebody that grows up like that?
I think so. I think, you know, I don't, I think I'll, I think I fight just as hard as they do to win. I think I go to the same extremes that they do. I don't think that they have an edge over me at all. I've put in enough work, and I continue to put even more work in every single day that I feel like I'm there. You know, I don't feel like the fact that I have this beautiful facility and they, you know, they're training in a basement somewhere doesn't have any effect on me. You know, I get in the cold tub, I get in the sauna for an hour. You know, I do all those things. It's not like I just kind of prance around all day and then there's nobody good in my country to go win. You know, I'm working hard every day and I'm busting my butt to beat those guys.
We're going to find out, right?
We're going to find out. That's right.
When's the big date? When would it be?
So September is the World Championships. I just missed them this year. The World Team Trials are in June of next year. So that's my first peak, really. I got a couple tournaments in January, early February that I'm planning on going to. And then we have the U.S. Open and the World Cup in March and April. So those are two more
tournaments. And then next September would be the
and
big...
And then next September is when you go out and get it, yeah.
Where would that be?
It's in Las Vegas.
Nice. Yeah. I'm coming to that.
Good.
This is awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, what's your favorite workout? Should we find out?
His favorite exercise.
Favorite exercise.
One
exercise. What is it?
For conditioning or for strength?
Anything.
For...
Like, you're like, I'm going to do this because my favorite one. What is it?
Power cleans. I love power cleans.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They're brutal. And, you know, I just feel so strong afterward. It's just a full body workout. Burpees stink too, but.
Burpees suck.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
All right, we're good? Yeah. All right. Hey, Joe, that was everything I thought it would be. I mean, Kyle is exactly who I thought he was. I mean, he talked about training and how hard he trained and the concept of somebody out there is getting better, and that kind of drives him and motivates him. But what really struck me above everything was the taking something positive from every day, mm-hmm. and staying positive,
and
his mother drove him. So there's all kinds of lessons in there. But for me, staying positive and trying to even learn. You know, he talked about his hardest day, not being able to get up off the mat, not to get the takedown, but saw the silver lining in the losing the 7 pounds. You know, for anybody, but especially for a young man to be able to think that through and say, okay,
I got something
good out of that, really kind of puts everything in context. It shows why he's different from the rest.
Hey, Doc, no bad days, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No bad days, yeah.
You know, I watched a great video of a guy, Klaus Obermeier, the Obermeier ski equipment at 92, broke his leg skiing. So first of all, who's skiing at 92, right? Let alone fast enough on a downhill run that he hits a chain that wasn't supposed to be there, breaks his leg, spends a full year in recovery. So at 94, he'd be the first guy up the left to ski the next season. And his philosophy is no bad days. But exactly like Kyle says, you know, the worst day, there's something good in it no matter what. And I talk a lot with the wrestlers that I trained and just with, you know, coaching clients and whatnot. You can always find something good. But that's what separates people, because we're kind of taught by society that it's okay just to be bad and negative, and, you know, that as long as you have an excuse to be unhappy, you can be unhappy. There's a great saying, you know, the idea of because. People use because as an excuse. Well, I'm sad because. There's a kid who he understands it's because, right? Like, he's the cause of everything in his life. So he's the cause of how he's going to feel after something happens. It's not I'm in a bad mood because practice was tough. It's I'm going to have a great life because I'm at the cause of it. So that was a huge takeaway for me from that one.
And that's the reason he's 4-time NCAA champ, right? I mean, it's those little things. Sure, he's talented. Sure, he's got physical strength.
I mean, his drive to be the best, and he talked about it, about the Olympics. And, you know, that's his greatest competition is going to be another American. So that's something he has to deal with. But when he was a senior, he didn't have to go up to that fourth weight class. There was already a kid there that was also gonna. It was also trying to repeat that many thought was the best wrestler in college. So not only was he trying to do something that no one else had tried to do, but he was personally pushing himself to go after the very best competition. Mm-hmm. Not only the very best competition in that weight class, but possibly the very best competition in the country that day.
He was getting out over his skis, right? He was going to put himself in a position where he could lose, and then he didn't have four times.
Right. And that,
he just keeps pushing that wall back, he kept saying, right? Just keep pushing that wall back, keep pushing that. And I think it's good because it seems like from his parents he got the positivity from his mom, and he said from his dad that he was just held accountable, right? And being held accountable to the commitments and what you say you're going to do is huge. And I think sometimes in our society that it's not, you're not really held accountable for what you say you're going to do.
Don't say it unless you mean it.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, a guy who's already succeeding at that level, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to win. And I don't think for him it was about winning, because if it was just about winning, he wouldn't have gone into that even tougher weight class.
Right.
So it really is about setting yourself up to do something great. And that usually means setting yourself up in a position that you may fail sometimes. Now, here's a kid who didn't fail at that level. But I think, you know, he'll go through life and he'll continue looking for what's that challenge that I may very well fail. The swimmer who said, if you're
Gracie,
bored, you're
Gracie,
just not setting good enough goals. Here's a kid who's setting good enough goals for sure.
Again, talking about reframing, and you didn't know this, so you didn't ask it, but I watched him wrestle a match on YouTube, and he beat a kid 22-5 or 22-3 or something like that, and did it very quickly, and it made all the kind of the headlines how quickly he had done it. When they interviewed him, they said, what was that about? Did you start out to do that? Why did you do that kind of thing? So when I grabbed a hold of the guy, he was the strongest person I had ever wrestled in my life. And I knew when I took him down, I had no chance of keeping him down. So I let him go. And then I took him down and let him go because he was getting up anyway. So he took what was most people would have been a negative to grab a hold of somebody. He would have said, oh, this guy's so much stronger than I am. I'm going to lose. Well, no. I mean, he just let him up because he was getting up anyway. And he turned it to his advantage. He took that disadvantage, switched
same
around,
thing,
made
same
it
thing
an
is
advantage.
Not right. What can I take as a positive from
right?
It?
And just right. Immediately turned it to his tactical advantage.
He's playing chess with life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
It's a resilient
and at a very
strategy.
Young age.
At a very young age.
You know, he's been on at least in the wrestling world, you know, on the top stage for a very long time already.
So. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Wrestling, I'm not a wrestler myself, but it seems to be like you learn the solid moves, but the whole point is that you're able to be resilient when you're in the moment, right? Because and just combine them in whatever way needs to be necessary.
Yeah, but there are times when you've got to wrestle out in the wilderness, no, like an animal.
Well,
or something.
I wrestled with Nate and Max. Yeah, when the bears come into my tent, I have to get a little.
But you and I've talked before about wrestling as probably the ultimate sport as far as setting up for life physically. The only one that might be there is gymnastics with it as far as the core strength and the balance and the ability to land on your feet literally. But with wrestling, the ability to dig in when it's absolutely awful, you know, when you're so tired and what you're about to do is go out and stick your face in somebody else's sweaty armpit, and like it's just to be able to dig in that deep. I don't think there's another sport in the world. Joe Rogan talks about that a lot in his podcasts, which are almost as good as these. And
almost.
But about the idea that the wrestlers, they willingly put themselves in such a crappy situation again and again and again. And then when you get out in life and you talk about obstacle immunity with Spartan races and the idea about intentionally taking on obstacles that are going to make it seem not quite so bad when you're at work and your coffee's cold, I can't think of anything better than that than wrestling. And all wrestlers are inherently strong and tough and amazing. It's like you said, here's a kid who's already at the very top of the top 1%. All have the physical skills to be as good as he
right.
is. You know, the top 1% of the top 1% have the mental ability to be as good as he is. And I think it's the top 1% of that 1% who actually puts those two things together. So he really would be in the 0.00001%.
I'm glad you did that. I was counting as you went along.
Yeah, so it's you know, it is a rare being. And yet, I remember one of the other interviews, somebody said that we're all athletes just by being humans. Yeah. We are, we just don't embrace it. And somebody else said we all have the capacity to be great. And, you know, we'll agree or disagree on the degree to which that's true. But we all have the ability to do something better than what we usually do. And here's a kid who took all these incredible skills and just didn't waste the opportunity. Sorry.
Right. No, and that's what he said, right? It's all about being better today than you were tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not, you know, get better tomorrow.
something like that.
Yesterday,
anyway,
yesterday and tomorrow soon.
But then it goes back again. It always comes back to the practice in the environment, in the 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
And he was 4 years old, and his father was a wrestling coach at Cornell.
Yeah.
His whole family was in, you know, he grew up in a wrestling room surrounded by talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then you got to take advantage of the opportunity. There's other kids that could go into that environment.
No, there are kids that grow up in wealthy households. That doesn't mean that they can then go build a business and take it to the next level, right? He had everything around him, but he used those tools.
Right, you still got to seize the opportunity. Yep. You've got to understand what's been given to you.
You're probably less likely to seize those tools when you're in that situation.
Yeah, no, my father used to say a lot of people in life think they hit a home run, but they started on third base.
Right.
I think Joe, are you saying
still get thrown out at the plate?
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of special operations, I don't know, personnel, I don't know what the right word is, but have a wrestling background, right? I mean,
they have a wrestling or combatives background, far greater than the average public. I mean, if you were to walk down a street and stop 10 adult males, how many have been wrestled? Maybe one.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a special forces team, an A team with 12 guys, I bet you 8 of them have a combative background.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... You know, the SEALs actively look for it in their recruiting process.
Yep.
It's one of the top, along with, I believe, water polo and surfing are kind of the guys who make it through the training. Well, water polo and the surfing is all about the cold water and the loneliness. And
Tell you
water
what, it's pretty cold here right now. I've been shaking nonstop.
One other thing that I thought, just when we're talking about that and about the idea about being there with the team and everything else, it's the nobody gets to any level of great success on their own. So even though it's an individual sport, it's his training partners and his coaches and the community that's rallied around him that's got him there, right? And so you talked about, like, for example, the Special Forces, those guys are a unit. It's everyone around them and all the people who got them there. And when I think back on my life, my wrestling coach was one of the most important people in my life and my teammates. And the death race, that's a huge part of this, is the community that it built for people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing this solitary, lonely sport out there, and yet they make the best friends they've ever made in their life. So we talked earlier in a podcast about the guys who come home from overseas, and it's just so hard to find that again.
Aaron,
so
we obviously all love Kyle Dake.
Yeah,
we all love wrestling, even our wilderness expert.
Learning.
But we got to move on. We've got to send people to SpartanUpPodcast.com.
Right.
They've got to check out your interactive feature.
Well, they're going to love it.
They're going to love it. They got to check out
they
got to check out the show notes. They've got to learn some lessons and just Spartan up in life.
Cool. Keep pushing that wall. Yeah.
Keep pushing the wall. Get it done. There are no bad days.
No bad days.
Absolutely.